And now stand by as we switch you to the stage of the Paramount Theater.
Benjamin of Sunny from KIXI, AM and FM stereo in Seattle, the 24-hour-a-day voice of CBS for the Great Northwest. Stay tuned now for CBS News. It's 10 o'clock.
CBS News, the House Judiciary Committee has approved a second article of impeachment against President Nixon. I'm Jim Kilpatrick, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The committee vote, 28 to 10, with 7 of the 17 committee Republicans voting to impeach. Republican Robert McClory voted yes. He had voted no on the first article. Article 2 charges Mr. Nixon with violation of his presidential oath to protect and defend the Constitution and repeated violations of power against the citizens of the United States. The Judiciary Committee meets again Tuesday morning. Mariah McLaughlin reports.
The committee is expected to consider at least 3 more articles for impeachment. There's one on the failure of the president to comply with the Judiciary Committee subpoenas. Opposition to this article will be based on the failure of the committee to either go to the courts to force the president to comply or to have the House cite Mr. Nixon for contempt. Some members, like Republican Tom Railsback, who voted for the first 2 articles, won't vote for this one. Other articles to be considered, one on Mr. Nixon's taxes and excessive public expenditures on the president's home in San Clemente, and one on the alleged cover-up of the Cambodia bombing. These last articles are expected to be defeated. Some Southern Democrats and some Republicans who have voted for impeachment so far are eager for these articles. Said one Southerner, "I need something to vote against in a hurry." Mariah McLaughlin, CBS News, Washington.
President Nixon went for a dinner cruise Monday evening aboard the yacht Sequoia, accompanied by his wife and daughter Julie Eisenhower. Mr. Nixon reportedly spent Monday listening to Watergate tapes that must be handed over Tuesday to federal judge John Sirica. CBS News continues after this.
Time Magazine. What's in it for you this week?
Cover story.
The 4 days behind the fateful 2711 vote to impeach the president.
Time shows you how private decisions were made.
How differences were reconciled.
How struggles over specificity were resolved.
How each member of the House Judiciary Committee endured his own anguish of responsibility.
In The Nation, a report on the rationale behind the Supreme Court's unanimous no to Mr. Nixon.
The World, a study of the uneasy ceasefire in Cyprus.
The tough talk of the Turks.
The sudden retreat of the Greek generals.
And the return of Konstantin Karamanlis to power in Athens.
These are some of the 46 news stories in the current issue of Time.
Reports that help you view the whole world's week.
For Time takes you to Switzerland to witness the new vigor of evangelical Protestantism.
To Russia, where there's no inflation. Only an Orwellian ripoff that does the same thing.
To Australia, to trace an invasion of toads that weigh 3 pounds, live 40 years, and eat almost anything.
And to Vatican City for a look at the problems of putting together a collection of 20th century religious art.
It's all in Time this week.
Pick up a copy today.
For Time makes everything more interesting, including you.
A federal grand jury has indicted former Treasury Secretary John Connolly. The former cabinet officer is accused of taking 2 $5,000 bribes from a dairy cooperative and then committing perjury as part of a conspiracy to cover up the payments. Connolly told newsmen in Houston he is confident that he will be completely vindicated of the charges. The situation at the Texas State Prison in Huntsville remains the same at this hour. David Henderson reports.
Talks have reached a stalemate between authorities at the Huntsville, Texas State Prison and armed convict Fred Carrasco, who has been holding hostages at gunpoint in the prison library for 6 days. Carrasco released a woman hostage late Monday after she apparently suffered a heart attack, but he is still holding 13 others. Prison spokesman Ron Taylor says negotiations have broken off for the night.
Negotiations this evening were in the same level. Mr. Carrasco wanting guns, ammunition, and vests, and us at the position where we are not going to provide these items, and in return offering safe surrender. So we are still at the same impasse position.
So the standoff continues at the Huntsville State Prison, with lawmen saying they have no plans to storm the prison library. They seem to be leaving the next move up to Carrasco. David Henderson, CBS News, Huntsville, Texas.
Pop singer Mama Cass Elliott is dead. The 33-year-old singer died Monday evening in London. Her doctor says she apparently choked to death while eating in bed, but has not discounted the possibility of a heart attack. More after this.
If you think volunteers are people who just roll bandages, meet the San Diego Drum and Bugle Corps.
They're all volunteers, from the bandmaster to the triangle player. And they'll perform at veterans hospitals and community events at the twirl of a baton. If you think being a volunteer will tie up your free time, meet Pete Barrett. Pete's a volunteer when he goes fishing. He tags striped bass so scientists can study their habits. You see, volunteers are simply people. People who give part of their time and part of themselves to help other people. You can help too, in your own special way, with your skills, your training, your concerns. We'll tell you how. Call the Voluntary Action Center in your town or write Volunteer, Washington, D.C., 20013. Volunteer. You'll never know how much good you can do until you do it. A public service of this station and the Ad Council.
There is apparently more gasoline available than the big oil companies can sell at current prices. Statistics compiled by the American Petroleum Institute show that the major refiners are now cutting back on gasoline. Experts say this will keep gasoline prices from dropping. A spokesman at the Federal Energy Administration says they're just not able to sell all of that at this price, and if you can't sell it, what are you going to do with it? I'm Jim Kilpatrick, CBS News.
CBS for Seattle, KIXI. Here's more of the best music of the West from KIXI.
CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Come in. Welcome. This is E.G. Marshall. The doors of the mind can be opened into corridors of unlimited possibilities, where time and place have a way of melding into strange and provocative patterns. Most ghost stories take place in the dark of night, or when shadows are long and the moon is crossed by clouds. But we're about to meet a ghost at high noon, on a blistering hot day without a shadow in the sky. In the course of our story, the two women who are embarked upon a fateful journey find respite from the merciless sun when they are drawn toward a barn from which comes a very human sound.
So dank and musty. What a place for a baby.
The sound comes from there.
No, the sound comes from over here.
We're here.
The sound is right here.
Yes, and this is a crib.
But Marion.
I know. There's no baby in it.
Our mystery drama, Ghost at High Noon, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Elizabeth Pennell and stars Celeste Holm. It is sponsored in part by New Sugar-Free Diet 7-Up and Contact, the 12-hour allergy capsule. I'll be back shortly with Act 1.
Buick introduces a new concept for you to consider in light of today's concern about miles per gallon. Range. Range is what you get when you multiply the mileage your car gets per gallon by the number of gallons your car's gas tank holds. Range is what you need to get you there and back, especially if you plan to travel even just a little. Range is one of the things that helped make the Buick Apollo such a special small car. A small car with range. It comes from coupling the Apollo's economical six-cylinder engine with a standard 21-gallon gas tank. It holds a lot, but it doesn't use a lot. Holds a lot of people, too. There's room for six in Buick Comfort. And the ride is Buick, too. In fact, the only place the Apollo may deviate from your conception of a Buick is in its low price. Look into the Apollo. It's what you'd expect a Buick to be, and a lot more than you'd expect a small car to be. Apollo. It's the Buick of small cars.
Hi.
Hi. I'm in nuclear research.
Nuclear research?
Uh-huh.
Hey, wow. I took you for a salami.
I beg your pardon?
A salami salesman, I thought for sure. Nuclear research.
Yeah.
And so young. Doesn't that take years and years of college?
Not necessarily. Well, today you can have a college grad's career with only a year or two of technical education. Look, it's all here in this free book, 25 Technical Careers in 2 Years or Less. It tells you how you can get into programming, chemistry, architecture, community service work, forestry.
Forestry? That would be great for this friend of mine. He loves to play in the woods.
Play in the woods?
Where do you get this free book, 25 Technical Careers?
Just write Careers, Washington, D.C., 20202.
Careers, Washington, D.C., 20202.
Yeah, send for it. It tells you how you can have a college grad's career without 4 years of college.
A public service message of this station and the Advertising Council.
The story begins on a long, straight ribbon of highway in an arid section of the western United States. Marion Jeffries and Janet Marston are longtime friends who are returning home after having driven Marion's son to a summer camp.
What a lonely stretch of road. I don't like it.
Oh, come on, Marion. No road is lonely at 10 o'clock in the morning.
This one is. George was right when he said we should make this part of the trip either very early or late at night.
Well, neither of us ever gets up at dawn. And I don't think two women should travel the highways after dark.
Oh, I don't mind driving at night.
Well, then why didn't you say so yesterday? That motel we stayed in was certainly no prize.
Oh, not so bad. Anything to get away from home for a few days.
Not from my point of view.
Well, you can travel any way you want to at any time.
Sometimes I do it only to keep from being bored.
Nonsense. You don't know what being bored is like.
I wanted to make this trip last longer. Really, Janet, it's an adventure for me.
Well, I've enjoyed it, too. It's given us a chance to catch up. But I must say, this stretch of highway is deadly dull.
Well, I wouldn't mind if it weren't so beastly hot. There's not a car in sight.
Marion, I have an uncomfortable feeling that there are things ahead of us on the road.
Oh, I'm glad you're not driving.
But don't you see those wavy lines? Shapes rising up, coming closer, and then fading away?
Sure, heat haze.
And over there, look. Look.
Nothing but bare, dry land and sagebrush.
I swear I see buffalo and Indians.
This terrible August heat has gone to your head. But I admit I'll be glad when we get to the next... Uh-oh.
What's the matter?
We're losing speed. The accelerator isn't working.
Oh, please, let's not have a breakdown way out here.
Motor's dead.
But we're miles and miles from anywhere.
I know.
Well, let's do something. We can't just sit here.
Oh. I'm just running the battery down. Then we'll be in a worse mess.
Are you absolutely sure we have gas?
Well, of course I am. Look at the gauge. And you remember when we got it.
I'll look under the hood. Isn't that what you're supposed to do?
Well, if you know what you're looking for.
Good Lord, feel that blast of hot air.
You'd better get back in while I check the manual. It's here, somewhere in the glove compartment.
Marion, it must be 110 out here.
Ouch!
What's the matter?
The hood. It's so hot I can't touch it.
Well, get back in the car while the air conditioning lasts.
We just better let the motor cool off.
Cool off? In this blazing sun?
Hurry, close the door.
So now what do we do?
Oh, I feel so helpless not knowing about what makes a car run or stop running. George always says, oh, skip it. I'm going to study this manual and see what happens when a motor's overheated.
Maybe if I put on these gloves.
Gloves in this weather?
Well, then I could open the hood and look for a loose wire or something.
You stay here. We'll think of something.
I'm thinking very hard.
No barn, no tree.
Marion, what if we really are...
Take it easy, Janet. I said this trip was an adventure, so let's make the most of it.
Then I suggest that we get out and start walking.
Absolutely not. The best thing we can do is sit quietly here in the car.
That's not my idea of an adventure.
Someone's bound to come along. Janet?
What?
Look. Look over there. Is your window closed tight?
Make sure.
It's a dust storm heading straight for us.
That's not a storm.
It's someone coming.
But there's no road out there.
Nevertheless, someone is coming.
Well, they must be choking with dust. It's almost too thick to see us.
We'll flag them. We'll flag them down. I'll get out and wave this scarf. Only, well, fantastic. It's horses. Janet, this is unbelievable. Look at what they're pulling.
It's a mirage. It must be a mirage.
No, they're real.
Marion, you said I was suffering from heat.
Not this time.
You do see what I see, don't you?
A covered wagon.
And a man who looks at least 150 years old.
Hey! Morning, ladies.
Good morning.
Who are you?
I'm usually called Old Timer, but my name is George.
That's my husband's name.
I do not have the pleasure of knowing your husband, Miss Jeffries.
Well, how do you know me?
I've come to take you and Miss Marston to the village.
He knows my name, too.
Of course, I know your names. And now, if you will both come...
You will fix the car for us, won't you?
Oh, I have no idea whatsoever how you propel these remarkable new conveyances.
But you knew we were here. You must have come to help us.
Oh, yes, I'm here to be of service. Come along, ladies. Mirado is expecting you.
Mirado?
Mirado is the town beyond the hill.
What hill?
Over that-a-way.
Well, it's perfectly flat.
You'll see the hill when we get to it.
But a hill can't...
Please, ladies, step into my wagon.
But we don't want to step into your wagon. We would like to be on our way.
This is your way.
I don't think you understand. We're going in this direction, straight ahead. Unless there's somewhere we can wait until help arrives.
I have to get home. I mean, my husband's expecting me.
Mr. Jeffries does not know what day this is.
Well, we know what day it is, and both of us have to get back.
We live quite a ways from here, but perhaps if I could call my husband...
Oh, he would never hear you if you called from here, Miss Jeffries.
Marion, I think this man is not quite right in the head.
We don't want to bother you, Mr. Oldtimer, but what we really want is just to be on our way in my automobile.
Ladies, your automobile will never take you to where we're going.
But we're not going anywhere with you.
Mr. Oldtimer, I think it would be best if you'd be good enough to go back to your town and ask a mechanic.
Mechanic?
You know, a garage man. Someone who can fix an automobile.
Why, no one in Mirado knows anything about automobiles.
Marion, what are we going to do?
I don't know. But if there is a town, as he says, I can't believe
they don't... My orders are to take you to Mirado.
What do you mean, your orders?
Why, you have come to help us just as I'm here to help you.
Well, then help us, will you, please?
Aye, that's better. Come along. You cannot sit here in the sun.
Oh, he's right, Marion. And I'm getting terribly thirsty. At least we could get some water and find a telephone.
A telephone?
Don't tell me your town is that primitive.
I've never been privileged to see a telephone.
But you will send someone for help.
I will take you to Mirado. That is all I can do.
Covered wagon. It's not nearly as uncomfortable as I thought it would be.
That's your idea.
At least the countryside is changing.
It sort of lulls you.
Why, look, Marion, there is a hill, and we're climbing. But the horses seem so tired and old. I mean, you think we're going to make it?
We're almost there, down in the valley. That's Mirado.
Incredible.
And Janet, look. There are houses.
Houses. That means there must be water.
We have a fine village pump.
And people who can help us. But this town is not on the map. I've studied the map very carefully. It shows nothing.
Look down there, Miss Marston. See for yourself.
Not very big, is it? But you must have a restaurant.
We have a tavern and a church and a jail.
What's the population?
Well, that depends. Get along there, Jezebel.
The street, Janet. Janet, where are the people? It looks deserted.
No one round at this time of day.
Why, Janet, it's a ghost town.
Yes, you could call it that.
But surely you don't live here alone.
Oh, no, indeed.
Now, will you please take us...
Oh, the hole! If you'll step down, ladies, you can get yourselves a drink at the town pump.
I can hardly wait. Oh, this rusty old cup. But I'm thirsty enough to drink from anything. I'd like to put my head under it. Feels wonderful on hands and arms. But it tastes so... so brackish.
Hasn't been used in a long time.
Now, where can we go for help?
I will show you the points of interest.
No sightseeing right now, please. But thank you. Do you have a telegraph office?
Oh, no indeed, Miss Jeffries. Scouts used to take our messages. Although there is now no reason to send a message.
No reason? Tell us right now how to find someone who will go to the next town.
Ladies, you are going to stay in Mirado.
Well, I suppose we're going to have to for an hour or two.
You have come home, Miss Jeffries.
Oh, stop making jokes, Mr. Oldtimer.
Mirado is a place where people stay forever.
Stay? In this deserted place? We'll soon see about that. Let's go to the mayor or to the police chief or someone, anyone in charge.
You won't find them now, not a soul, till the stroke of noon.
Why not? Someone must live in these houses. Where are the people?
Asleep, Miss Marston. They're sound asleep.
That store over there. Surely inside we'll find someone who...
No one there yet, Miss Jeffries.
Well, I'm going to look anyway. Will you come with me, Marion?
Yes, but it's all so quiet and eerie. Not a sound.
Oh, you'll hear sound, all right. In the barn, cross road, out in that field.
What sort of sound?
Find out for yourself.
You're not being very helpful. I don't like this place. Mr. Oldtimer, you have some explaining to do. You said we were expected.
You are, dear ladies, you are.
Who are you? How did you know our names?
It was destined that you were the ones to be chosen this time.
What are you talking about?
Please, Mr. Oldtimer. Chosen for what?
On the hottest day of the year, when the heat haze spreads across the desert, Mirado comes back to life and claims two people from the modern world.
There may be no new thing under the sun, but a frightening prospect confronts Marion and Janet if Mirado really has a living past. It is possible that George is merely a foolish old man touched in the head by too much heat. But on the eerie streets of a ghost town, you never know what sinister forces may be at work. The two distraught ladies seem to be getting further away from help with each passing moment. We'll return to them and the old timer shortly with Act Two.
Oh, somebody's been drinking my sugar-free diet 7-Up, and it's all gone.
Oh, actually, I saved a little.
Oh, a bear!
Hiya, Goldie. What's brewing?
That's me. Goldilocks to you.
Oh, come on, kid. You mean you don't remember me? The cottage, the three chairs, the porridge?
Baby bear! Bear?
In the fur. Been a long time, Goldie.
But Baby Bear.
Please call me BB.
You drank all the sugar-free diet 7-Up, and I have to conduct another diet drink taste test today.
Well, yeah, I saw the sign on the door, a professional taste tester, huh?
But how can I conduct my taste test now?
Why bother? I tried those other diet drinks, too. You'll notice there's still plenty of them around. Why not ask me?
Well, okay, BB. Tell me. Why did you drink all the sugar-free diet 7-Up?
I like the taste. Light, fresh, natural, sugar-free diet 7-Up is definitely unbearably delicious.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows how to help you solve your shopping problems? The Better Business Bureau knows.
Wednesday, 10 o'clock. I'm back at the office working on the case when my secretary brings me the mail. Thanks, kid. The usual stuff. Then I see it. It's addressed to me, resident. Inside, a fake rabbit's foot. The pitch? A $2 donation or send back the rabbit's foot. My problem? What to do about it?
I'll help you with good advice from the Better Business Bureau.
Oh, yeah? Spill it.
If you receive unordered merchandise in the mail, you are under no obligation to return it or pay for it.
Thanks, pal. You're okay.
Just another consumer tip from your Better Business Bureau.
On a lonely stretch of road when their car broke down. Marion Jeffries and Janet Marston had been taken to the strange ghost town of Mirado. In vain, they have tried to persuade their ancient escort to help them get back to civilization. But he has an unsettling way of insisting that they have come home to Mirado and that here they will stay. Their panic is growing with each new turn of events. Aside from the old man, there is no sign of life on the narrow streets.
And so you see, dear ladies, we are happy to welcome you.
We? You keep saying we. Where are the others?
Later, Miss Marston. You'll meet them later.
We really can't stay very long.
Miss Jeffries, I'll show you to your quarters.
My quarters? Truly, we are not planning to be here long.
Come with me, both of you. We need you, Miss Jeffries, in the tavern here. Come, we'll go inside.
Oh, I don't want to go in there.
Oh, nothing to be afraid of. Come along.
Janet, the pewter plates, look. Look! And the glassware. Oh, my, I'd like to take these home. Maybe we are in luck after all. Marion, I didn't touch it. Honestly, I didn't. I just put my hand toward that goblet, and it shattered.
Follow me, ladies. The kitchen here is equipped in the best possible way.
Why, it's covered with dust. That wood stove hasn't been touched for years.
I think you will find that it will soon be ready for use.
But who's going to use it?
It's not for you, Miss Marston. We have other plans. But we understand that Miss Jeffries is a very good cook.
What are you talking about?
This stove is for you, Miss Jeffries.
Marion, your reputation has really gotten around.
Me? Cook on that?
Oh, I believe you'll get used to it.
Well, who, pray tell, is there to cook for?
You'll meet them all at high noon.
Marion, we have to get out of here.
Oh, yes, Miss Marston. I'll show you to the place we have for you.
For me? I'm leaving. We're both leaving.
We have real need of a school teacher.
And what makes you think that I know anything about teaching school?
We know a great many things about both of you.
But I haven't taught school
for... We know that you like teaching school. And this is a fine opportunity...
Stop it! I won't listen to any more. You said...
Janet, I hear something. A voice from the barn.
A voice? Oh, please make it a human voice.
I'll be back at high noon, ladies. The bell on the church steeple will strike the hour. And then, at 1 o'clock, it will all be over.
Janet, I'm terrified. He's a man.
Listen. Oh, I hear it.
Hurry. There's someone in that barn.
It's a welcome sound with a crying baby. There must be a woman nearby.
Help me. Help me to open the door. It's stuck. Well, we got to open it.
I think it's starting to...
This door hasn't been opened in years.
Sure, how could...
Pull harder. Oh, there.
So dank and musty. What a place for a baby.
The sound comes from over there.
No, no, the sound comes from over here.
Right here. The sound is right here, in the corner. Look, look in the corner. I don't see anything. It's so dark, a crib.
Oh, what a lovely hand-carved crib.
You're right. This is a crib, but it's not real.
I know. There's no baby in it.
Marion, tell me you hear what I hear.
A baby crying right here in this crib.
But there is no baby. Are we losing our minds?
Oh, Janet, be sensible. We both hear it.
Well, there must be an explanation.
Oh, I can't stand it.
This spooky barn. Let's get out.
Well, we can't walk out on a crying baby. You look on that side. I'll go over here.
But, Marion, I'm frightened. I always was afraid of the dark.
Janet, we've got to keep our heads. That baby must be here somewhere.
It's weird. There's no sense to any of this.
Now, come on. There must be something about the acoustics of this old barn.
The crying has stopped. Oh, Marion, I'm scared to death.
Listen to that bell. 6, 7... 8? The old man kept talking about something happening at 12 o'clock. Let's get back to town.
I tell you, I'm afraid.
Well, you're the one who doesn't like the dark. We can't stay in here.
But the baby that was crying.
But there's no crying now.
There must be a reason. Come on, we've got to find out. Look, Marion. Out on the road to town. People.
Thank heaven.
Those two men in the field. Let's go talk to them.
Oh.
They aren't moving.
They look like statues.
Or that painting.
Yes. It's the Angelus.
And that girl who's running.
Only she isn't running.
She's standing still. 12. 12 must be the magic number. That girl is moving now, and she's coming this way.
Little girl? Little girl? Can you tell us stop?
Please stop. We want to ask you a...
She didn't hear us.
She didn't even see us.
Well, those two men. Let's talk to them.
Sir, would you tell us, please?
Please, we don't want you to stop your work, but we do need your help. I mean,
No use. They can't see us or hear us.
This is impossible.
They're here.
Janet, you do see what I see, don't you?
A man with a spade and a man with a hoe.
Exactly. So I'm going to find out
the way they're behaving.
This can't be true. It can't be real.
Nonsense.
They're ghosts.
I don't believe in ghosts. Now, I'm going to make this man talk to me.
Look out. You'll be hurt. That hoe is sharp.
This man is real. His hoe is real.
Marion, don't go any closer.
I'm going to touch him.
No. Marion, no. You can't grab his arm.
Mister, you have to listen to me.
He stopped breathing.
I'm not sure he ever was breathing.
But he's standing there.
His eyes. Look at his eyes.
Let go of him. be. It can't be. He's gone right back to work again.
What about the other man?
No use. It would be the same thing.
We can try.
No. Marion, I can see the look in his eyes, too. He's dead. Just like the other one. Let's get away from here.
Only, where can we go?
Well, I'm coming around to your point of view. We must be very calm and think this whole thing out very sensibly.
Let's move as far as possible away from these robots.
How about that hillside over there?
Well, maybe if we sit down in the shade of a tree, we'll come to our senses.
It's peaceful here.
But, Janet, we can't stay here. I'm getting hungry.
Maybe that old man was right.
What do you mean?
Perhaps you do belong in the kitchen.
What a terrible thing to say.
Oh, I'm only kidding, Marion. But you were the one who wanted adventure.
Enough is enough. Today will last me for a lifetime.
That's what I mean.
You're talking very strangely.
I feel strange. I felt strange all day, ever since seeing those buffalo.
What buffalo?
Back on the road, when we were in the car. It all seems like such a long time ago.
Oh, Janet, the heat haze, it's gotten to you again.
Perhaps we're still back in that car.
No, we're here, in Mirado.
And that is the strangest part of all.
I agree that Mirado is a very unusual town. But now that it's 12 o'clock, if George was right, if we just go down to the center of things...
Marion, do you really believe there is such a town as Mirado?
But, Janet, you can see it from here, just as clearly as I do. Listen.
I've heard that sound before, when the old man came.
No, but this is different. The way they're traveling, this must be young men. And they're heading down the main street. There must be someone who can help us.
Ghosts. They're all of them ghosts.
Janet, snap out of it. Come on.
Where are we going?
Back into town.
I don't think I can stand any more of these ghostly people.
But the horses, Janet. Maybe we can get some horses and ride away from this frightening place.
I haven't been on a horse in 1,000 years.
Neither have I, but we can try. Oh, Janet, we can try.
They all look so busy.
What did I tell you? Siesta time is over. Everyone's awake now.
They're far from awake, Marion.
The blacksmith shop's over there. And that should be the place to find out about the horses.
Hello, ladies. How are you getting along?
It's the old-timer.
Thank goodness, Mr. Old-timer. George, please, we can talk to you.
At your service, ladies.
You'd better be of more service than you were the last time.
Well, I know it was you who brought us here, but we simply don't understand.
It's all very simple, Miss Jeffries. You heard the clock strike 12?
Yes, we heard the clock, and we can see the people.
I had my orders. Everything will work out within the hour.
Good. Then you will take us back to civilization.
Nothing of the sort. As I told you before, you're staying here.
But we don't belong here. Those other people, they're ghosts.
I told you over and over again. You have been selected.
But you said at 12 o'clock we would understand.
And that everything would be all right.
It is, dear ladies, it is. We need you, both of you. To go with the others.
We'll pay you well, very well, for you to take us away from here. Anything you ask.
I do only what I'm supposed to do for Mirado.
There is no such place as Mirado.
Right before your eyes, Miss Marston. As you said yourself, it's a very busy town.
Oh, Janet, come on. We're going to the blacksmith shop.
I wouldn't dare touch one of those horses.
Oh, they look gentle enough to me. That gray one, please.
I mean, are they real?
Of course they're real. And that white-haired blacksmith. He's not like those other men. Look at those rosy cheeks.
Most likely from all that heat. I must say the fire looks real enough.
Excuse me. Please?
Please stop for a moment. It's important. We want to hire 2 horses.
No use talking to old Sam. He's deaf and dumb.
They're all deaf and dumb, every one of them.
Ladies, you've spent enough time in here. There's someone waiting for you.
Well, why didn't you say that before? Or you found someone who can help us?
Come along. We're going back to the tavern.
Why, that sign in front of the tavern is new. It wasn't there before.
People have been working. Right this way, ladies. Through the swinging door.
And the door. It isn't rusty anymore. Someone's oiled the hinges. The place is crowded.
Joe!
Welcome back, old timer. Glad to see you. Did you bring her?
Janet, he can talk. We found someone who can talk.
Well, things are looking up. Or are they? At least there seems to be one other living soul in the Rado. But why did Joe ask that question, "Did you bring her?" Which one of the ladies does he mean? It doesn't sound as though he's going to help them get away. Marion and Janet may be in yet deeper trouble. And the mystery of this ghost town is far from solved. I'll be back shortly with Act 3.
Give your hand to a friend. Give your heart to your love.
To your love.
But give your allergy to contact.
Allergy is our business, too. We know pollen. We know that any of the 12,000 quarts of air you breathe each day may contain enough pollen to make your eyes itch, make you sneeze, and drip. We also know an ingredient that helps block pollen's bad effects. It's the antihistamine most prescribed by allergy specialists. It's an ingredient in contact.
Give your hand to a friend. Give your heart to your love.
Tiny time pills in one contact keep this antihistamine working up to 12 full hours, all day, all night.
Give your allergy to contact.
Take contact only when needed, only as directed.
Project Hope is reaching out, bringing hope to more countries around the world this year than ever before. Newest addition to Hope's international programs is Ethiopia, where Project Hope's doctors, nurses, and other medical specialists will be working side by side with Ethiopians, teaching while they treat. Since 1960, Hope has trained more than 7,000 physicians, dentists, nurses, and other healthcare personnel, has helped establish new schools of nursing, dentistry, and physical therapy in several countries, and assisted in the development of hospitals, teaching institutions, and public health services. Hope's work has been heralded by heads of many nations, its services requested by many, many more.
Hope is training and sharing. Hope is treating and caring. Health is what Hope's all about. Help Project Hope reach out.
Help Hope reach out. Right, Project Hope, Room A, Washington, D.C.
At the stroke of noon, the little town of Mirado seemed to burst into life. The streets are crowded now as people come out of their houses and go about what looks like normal everyday business. And there are workmen in the fields. But something is wrong. If you or I should try to speak to these people, would they answer? Our 2 frightened travelers had no one to turn to except the old timer. But at last, they have heard the sound of another human voice. A man named Joe.
I asked your old timer. Did you bring her?
I certainly did. She's right here.
Marion, which one of us is he talking about? Mr. Joe, is that your name?
Did you explain to her that there is a great deal to be done?
I tried.
He didn't explain anything, Mr. Joe. You tell us.
Oh, no use talking to him at this stage. He can't hear you.
But he answered you. Why can't he talk to me?
Not 1 o'clock yet. You're still in the other world.
I'll make him talk. Your name is Joe. You run this tavern. Now, we need help.
Old-timer, did you show her the kitchen?
Marion, it's you he's talking about.
We've got plenty of complaints today about the food. Look at all the customers.
Yeah, looks like a full house.
Did you show her where everything is?
Try to, but so far, she doesn't seem to quite understand.
Oh, she will. You tell her we'll take real good care of her. Nobody ever any more popular around this town than the cook. What'd you say her name is?
Miss Jeffries.
You stop talking about me like that and talk to me. You hear?
Like I told you, Miss Jeffries, he cannot hear you.
He's got to hear me. Now, please, please, Mr. Joe, you look like a sensible man. You can tell us what this is all about, please.
Well, George, got to be going. Trouble in the kitchen.
See here.
He can't see you either, Miss Jeffries. Not yet.
You tell that new cook she's very welcome.
You're going to like working for Joe. He's a fine gentleman.
Stop it! I can't stand anymore. Janet, that sad-faced woman in the corner. Let's ask
no
her.
No use. I already tried. Just like the rest.
That's Miss Crawford.
Oh.
Widow lady. You'll find her a very good friend when you get to know her.
I want to know her right now, right this minute.
You must be patient, dear lady. Not now. We're on our way to the schoolhouse. We're here, everybody. Get ready.
Oh, Janet. What a darling one-room schoolhouse.
No one-room schoolhouse was ever darling.
Children are charming.
What do you think of them, Miss Marston?
Well, they all look like normal, healthy children to me. Only I know they're not. Oh, I don't know from minute to minute what to believe anymore.
You had better believe, Miss Marston. The children are doing this specially for you.
They look as though they're singing.
They are. And very nicely, too.
Well, then why can't I hear them? Why?
In time. You'll hear them when you are their teacher.
But I'm not going to be their teacher.
Miss Marston, our teacher is old, as you can see. All the children have learned songs and games.
I didn't think anyone still used those little bells. What are they going to do now?
I think it's time for arithmetic.
Oh, what a bright-looking little girl. The one going up to the blackboard.
Yeah, you see? 7 times 9...
7 times 9 does not equal 56.
That's just what I mean, Miss Marston.
But that teacher is nodding her head. This is outrageous.
Just as I told you, we need someone like you around here.
Why, I'm going up to that blackboard and put her straight.
Oh, no, Miss Marston. You can't do that yet.
But I'm going to.
Don't do it, Miss Marston.
Children, this number on the blackboard is wrong. Here's the way it goes. Oh, dear, this chalk. The chalk won't write on the blackboard.
Don't worry, Miss Marston.
Here, young lady, you take the chalk and I'll show you the right answer.
They've gone back to that game.
Here, now I want to show you something.
It's no use, Miss Marston. None of them can see you.
Well, then why did you bring me here?
So you'd know what to do later on.
You keep saying that.
We've been looking for someone like you for a long time, Miss Marston. And you've come to us at last. You will be there, teacher.
You must be joking. Everything is a ghastly, hideous joke.
That will be enough, children. It's time for us all to go.
Marion, I have a feeling that the stage is being set for some tremendous catastrophe.
The hour is approaching. And I must get to my station.
Old-timer, please don't leave us. George, you're our only hope.
It's 1 o'clock. Hurry, run to the town hall.
Marion, listen. I heard the clock start one,
but the people, they're all talking now, all of them.
And they can see us. Look, they're beckoning to us.
Let's catch up.
It's Dusty!
Storm.
The beginning of a terrible storm. Look over there.
I told you.
What did you tell me?
This morning when I saw those buffalo and... and the Indians! The town hall! Hurry! Hurry!
This sure is a stinking piece of road.
Come on. It's my favorite stretch of highway.
Glad it's not my Pete.
Well, if you had the right car, you could do 200 miles an hour along here.
Yeah, well, watch it, bud. A cop's supposed to set an example.
Bet I can do 150. Shall we try?
No thanks. You never make it in this thing. And we're supposed to be saving gas, remember?
This road's only fun when you drive as fast as you can. Especially on a day like today.
You know, Sweeney, sometimes I just feel sorry for the poor slobs we haul in for speeding on stretches like this.
Yeah, right along here's the best place to get them.
You actually come out here on purpose just to give them speeding tickets?
Sometimes, when I have nothing better to do.
Hey, slow down, will you?
Why?
There's something up there on the road.
Heat haze.
No. Come on now, Sweeney. Slow down, will you?
Hey. I think you're right.
It's a stalled car, that's for sure.
Yeah, rotten place to run out of gas.
California plates. Nobody in it.
Maybe they're sleeping.
Well, we'll soon find out.
This is supposed to be your day off. But I'm still on duty, so here goes.
No, I'm coming too.
Man, feel that heat.
Nobody in the car, Sweeney.
Oh, they'd be crazy if they were.
I got the license number.
If it's unlocked, there should be a registration.
Find anything?
Yep. Belongs to a Mr. George Jeffries, Vallejo Street, San Francisco.
You want me to get that down?
Okay. But where's Mr. Jeffries?
Wait a minute. Lady's gloves in here. And a scarf.
Guess he wasn't traveling alone.
It looks like women's luggage on the back seat, too.
Say, you don't suppose it was some dame who got stuck way out here all by herself, do you?
No, it's my hunch that there were at least two people in this car. But whoever they are, they took the ignition key.
Air conditioning. That wouldn't work if the motor conked out.
Yeah. Well, which way do you think they'd go?
Wouldn't be stupid enough to walk on such a hot day. We got a ride.
But we didn't pass anybody coming this way. They must have gone straight ahead.
Yeah. Could have been some time ago.
But what do you think? Should we push the car off the road?
Uh-uh. Car's in plain sight. No traffic. And Midway's only about 10 miles. We'll find it there.
Maybe I should stay here.
Oh, you're off.
Well, I mean, just in case, you know.
I'm sorry we don't have the patrol car. We did, I checked with headquarters. I'll make my report, and if there's any trouble, you can come back with me. We'll bring the tow truck.
Okay. I got it all down. Sedan, color blue.
Yeah. Come on. Get in, and let's go.
There's something in this book I want to check.
What are you carrying that thing around with you for? Boy, what a rookie.
Well, I haven't worked this territory as long as you have. Maybe they'll assign me to a car out here.
Oh, just ask me anything.
I just want to make sure that there isn't some other town or farm or someplace where those people could have gone.
Oh, nothing but desert for miles in every direction.
Well, let's just see. There's Baker. Razor. Hey, Sweeney, listen to this, will you?
Listen to what?
Ever hear of a town called Mirado?
Mirado? It's not around here.
Well, it's a ghost town, or at least it was. Old trading post.
Maybe 100 years ago.
No, longer than that.
Well, then who cares about it today?
I do.
You know, you're really something.
Well, just a minute. Can I read it to you?
Read it. Since I got nothing better to do, go on, read it.
It says here that in August of 1846, a band of bloodthirsty Indians swooped into the little town of Mirado and killed all but one of its inhabitants.
All but one?
The lone survivor was a baby boy who was found asleep in a crib in a barn. There is a legend that once a year, the residents of Mirado come back to haunt the place. Now, what do you think of that?
I think it's poppycock, made up for the tourist trade.
Hey, look over there, that great big spiral of smoke.
Oh, Johnson, you're a fool. That's a dust storm, and it's coming our way.
Come on, step on it.
If anyone else drove as fast as I'm about to, even you would arrest him for speeding.
Some people believe in predestination, and almost everyone, at some time in life, comes across a ghost. Our traveling ladies may have met with an unfortunate accident, or perhaps they really were sojourners in time, who found a better, or at least a different, place to fit into the scheme of things. The ghosts of times past are all around us, and legends persist. The present is made up of the past, and a clock of one century tells time in another. I'll be back shortly.
Ever had a tall, frosty glass of Amplitude? Well, if your beer is Budweiser, you've had it often. Amplitude is a fancy word for the entire taste phenomenon, the total experience of flavor. Next time you take a healthy swallow of Bud, watch what happens. Think about the sensations you're experiencing. Notice how the flavor of Bud comes on nice and easy. Not too strong, not too quick, just right. Notice the clean, crisp togetherness of Bud's taste. Everything in perfect balance, with no single element jumping out at you. And there'll be no aftertaste either, no hanging on. And you'll be refreshed and ready for another glassful. Actually, Bud drinkers have been experiencing Amplitude for years, but they never phrase it that way. They just say Budweiser, and that says it all. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
Be grateful for the energy crisis this summer. It may keep you from driving along a deserted highway. Check your automobile and drive with care. There could be a ghost town waiting for you. Our cast included Celeste Holm, Francis Sternhagen, Nat Polan, and Gilbert Mack. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown.
Now, a preview of our next tale.
I've got some clues. I have those tire marks. They made a mold 5 years ago. And I've got this little button made of bone. It was clutched in Grover's hand. You take a look at it.
I looked. It was a little button. The sleeve button. From a corduroy jacket. One of the host of buttons that adorned that jacket. The jacket I had worn that night. I never even noticed the one that was missing. That jacket. I still have it. I don't wear it often, but I still have it. It's in one of my closets. What you're saying is that if you can find the jacket it came from, you've got your killer.
That's right. I've got it.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, brewers of Budweiser. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Thank you.
bringing you the bright and beautiful sound of music. This is Stereo 96 FM or 91 AM, KIXI, Seattle.
CBS News. The House Judiciary Committee has voted a second article of impeachment against President Nixon. I'm Ann Crosman reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The committee, meeting in a late-night session, voted a second article of impeachment. It charges Mr. Nixon with violating his presidential oath and his presidential duty to make sure the laws are faithfully executed. The vote was 28 to 10. Republican committee member Robert McClory voted for the article. Last week he voted against the first article of impeachment. Among other things, the second article charges the president with misusing the Internal Revenue Service in order to obtain confidential information in tax returns for illegal purposes. The Judiciary Committee continues its debate of additional articles of impeachment Tuesday morning. Speaker of the House Carl Albert says he hopes the full House can begin debate on impeachment by the second week in August. Albert says he expects debate to last about 2 weeks. The Senate has taken its first step to get ready for a possible impeachment trial. CBS News correspondent Hal Walker tells us about it.
The Senate has asked its Rules Committee to recommend any updating in existing procedures for an impeachment trial that might be necessary after more than 100 years of disuse. Majority Leader Mike Mansfield emphasized that the move is purely anticipatory. The Rules Committee is ordered by the Senate to keep all of its deliberations secret. Mansfield and Minority Leader Hugh Scott were asked about the haste in moving a Senate trial along.
The president wants Watergate behind him. We want Watergate behind us. And I think that the people as a whole would like to have this matter disposed of as quickly, as fairly, as impartially, as expeditiously as possible.
And I agree with that. I think that people are very tired of the whole Watergate process. And it is our obligation, should the matter come to us, and again, we don't concede that it will, but should it come to us, it's our obligation to proceed expeditiously.
The Rules Committee will report back to the full Senate by September 1st. Hal Walker, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
More news coming up.
I want that sinus medicine.
Headache tablets?
No, sinus medicine. Helps the headache and the pressure.
Oh, you mean Sinoff.
Exactly.
Exactly right. When sinus flares up with congestion and pain, insist on Sinoff tablets. Sinoff delivers a full dose of pure aspirin plus a sinus drainer. Sinoff helps sinus pain while you drain. Use only as directed.
S-I-N-E-O-F-F.
Sinoff.
Exactly.
Sinoff, the sinus medicines in the bright red box.
The City of Chicago, State of Georgia, Albertsons Incorporated of Colorado, Bottlers.
What do all these have in common?
State of West Virginia.
They've all joined in and worked with the Pitch-In program to help clean up America.
24th Street Elementary.
What can you do?
Keep Virginia.
Right. United States Brewers Association. Post Office Box 2570, Washington, D.C.
State of Delaware.
20013.
Washington National.
Let's all pitch in.
Minneapolis Motor Speedway. Colorado Division of Highways. Keep Florida beautiful.
Former Treasury Secretary John Conley says he's going to fight an indictment by a Watergate grand jury. Conley's charged with accepting a $10,000 bribe from some milk producers in an attempt to influence a government decision to raise milk price supports. That one was when Conley was Treasury Secretary in 1971. Conley denies the charges.
It's a deep blow to be indicted, as I have been. But frankly, all this means is that we're going to fight it all the harder, and I'm confident we're going to win it without any doubt. I just have no doubts because I've done nothing wrong. I have nothing to apologize for. I have nothing to be ashamed of.
The grand jury also indicted Jake Jacobson, who was a former Texas milk lobbyist and who was accused of paying the bribe money to Conley. Sources say that Jacobson has made a deal with the prosecutors and that he will be a key witness for the prosecution against Conley. More news in a minute.
I'm sitting on the beach, it's 90 degrees, and my wife says, "What about antifreeze?" And I say, "What about antifreeze?" And she says, "Haven't you heard that song?
You can never buy Preston too early. Do it now, don't you wait. You can never buy Preston too early. You can only buy it too late.
Well, it figures. You put in a 50-50 mix of Prestone 2 winter summer formula and water, about 2 gallons for most cars, and you got fresh boil-over protection for the rest of the summer. And you're set for winter without waiting in line when the first frost hits. And listen, only Prestone 2 has a patented silicone silicate inhibitor system. Nothing beats it for corrosion protection. They're right. You can never buy Prestone too early. You can only buy it too late.
Can't trust Prestone.
Who can you trust?
A committee of the American Bar Association is recommending the repeal of all state laws against prostitution. The committee says that laws which classify prostitution as a crime discriminate against women, and according to the committee, that in most states, the law ignores the fact that male customers, without whom prostitution would be impossible, are accomplices in this so-called criminal act. The committee also says laws against prostitution invade a person's privacy. The committee recommendation will be considered by the ABA House of Delegates next month at its yearly meeting. I'm Ann Crosman, CBS News.
CBS for Seattle, KIXI.